I'm speaking from Revelation chapter 3. I read verses 16 and 17. In verse 16, Jesus said, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." These are strong words coming from the Lord. "I'll spew you out of my mouth. You're in me, yet you're making me sick. I will discard you, except you repent." Paul was afraid of something like this happening to him. Paul told the Corinthians in chapter 9, "I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul knew that if he did not bring his body into subjection, under subjection to the rule of Christ, he would become a castaway, a reject, who Christ could no longer fit into his great church that he is building. Paul was aware that he could lose out with God. He could become a reject, such as these here at Laodicea, who was under the threat of being a castaway, a reject, no longer desirable by Christ. We find in the book of Ezekiel, where God said that if a righteous man turned from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and he die in his iniquity, all of his righteousness will be forgotten, and he will die in his sin. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 47. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." This kingdom of God has gathered some of every kind. This gospel that I preach, this gospel net that I spread out across this listening area, have brought in those of every kind. But Jesus said, "Don't worry. The day is coming when I, the master fisherman, gathers the good into my vessel and cast the bad away." Paul was aware of this. He did not want to be a castaway. I know there's people who claim that once you are in the body of Christ, you will always be in the body of Christ. I say that is true, except you become lukewarm and make the Lord sick. In that case, he will spew you out of himself. He told them why he would spew them out. He said to them, "Because you say." Here we have in this verse a "he say" and "they say." You say you are rich, but I say you are poor. You say you have need of nothing, but I say you are wretched. You say you are happy, but I say you are miserable. This verse reminds me of Jesus speaking to the multitude in the book of Matthew. He says, "You have heard." And then he used that other short, emphatic word, "but." When he said, "You have heard," he reached back to what human ears had heard for centuries and still hear from the ethical reformers, all those rules and codes and precepts, which are half-truths and mixed between instinct and reason. between local customs and the highest ideas when he said, "You have heard." He included the Mosaic Law, Buddha with his Eightfold Way, Confucius with his rules for being a gentleman, Aristotle for his natural happiness, the broadness of the Hindu, and all the humanitarian groups of our day. He said, "You have heard, it said, that thou shalt not commit adultery." Moses had said it. Pagan tribes suggested it. Primitive people respected it. Then came that awful but. I tell you, he that cast his eye on a woman so as to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Our Lord went into the depths of the heart and branded even the intention to sin a sin. He did not wait for the evil tree to bear fruit. He would prevent the very sowing of the evil seed. "You have heard," he says. In that expression, he summarized the jargon of every decaying civilization. Next, Christ laid hold on all of those social theories which say that sin was due to the environment. Of them, he says, "You have heard." Then comes that short but I tell you. He affirms that sins and selfishness, greed and adultery, crime, theft, political corruption, all of these come from man himself. The offense results from our own will and not from our environments. And what was Jesus' answer to all of these? He thundered out his recommendation of self-operation, cut it off. And cut it out. However, this was not the recommendation to this church at Laodicea. God, in his mercy, simply said, "Be zealous and repent." Let's get back to verse 17. He said, "You say, but you don't know. You say all is well, but you don't know." Could it be that their hearts had deceived them? They were in a sickening condition of thinking that they were spiritually rich when they were bankrupt, of imagining that they should be envied by others when they should have been pitied. They had no riches. They had no clothes. They had no vision, no insight, spiritually naked, spiritually blind, spiritually bankrupt. What was his answer to this? In verse 18, he says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." Jesus offered them counsel. We do know that he is the great counselor, the mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. This was wise counsel given by the wisest of all men that have ever lived. Jesus told his listeners that the Queen of the South had traveled from the uttermost parts of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And then he says, "A greater than Solomon is here." This wisdom was wiser than anything that Solomon had ever said.